Let's bow our heads, please. Dear Father, thou art God Almighty. And surely, Lord, we reverence you, we honor you, we praise you. Dear Lord, we ask you today that you anoint your word, that we can each be inspired and be encouraged and be edified in Jesus' name. Amen. The thought today is following the Lord's navigation. I think one time I mentioned about navigation here. But you see, we have GPS and other sources of navigation, another source I use. And sometimes when we follow them, they might even lead us to a dead end street or the wrong side of town. Just the other day, I was following I have OnStar, and I was trying to find a place, and it led me to the opposite side, same street, right, but the opposite side. But you know, when we follow the Lord's navigation, we don't have to worry about that. He's not going to lead us to a dead end street. He's going to lead us into the right way. Amen. And you know, on our own, we will not be able to go from here to heaven on our own.
That's
right. We're going to need God's directions.
Yes.
We're going to need his navigation. He will help us navigate through life,
yes,
from earth to heaven,
yes,
if we follow it. So it's so important,
yes,
to follow the Lord. Sometimes we feel like we know what's best. Sometimes it seems like we got a better plan or a better way, but we don't. Let's go to Ephesians 5 and 1. Somebody read that for me. Okay. What do we know about dear children? Dear children are those that really love us. They care about us. They're eager to please.
Yes.
And we need to be able to follow God as dear children, eager to do whatever he tells us to do. I was thinking of a song. I don't know if you know this song, but some might. It says, I'm following Jesus, one step at a time. I live for the moment in his love divine.
Yes.
Why think of tomorrow? Just live for today. I'm following Jesus each step of the way. The pathway is narrow, but he leads me on. I walk in his shadow. My fears are all gone.
Yes.
My spirit grows stronger each moment, each day, for Jesus is leading each step of the way. So we want to follow Jesus like that, one step at a time.
Yes.
We don't have to worry about tomorrow, what he wants us to do, how it's going to work out and all that, but let's conquer today in following him every step of the way. Sometimes he might tell us things, like I said, we feel like, you know, we can't see our way through. We don't even see how that could work. But if we follow him, he will help us out.
Yes.
I was thinking about a couple of years ago, and I've shared this, how that the Lord had told me to do something, and I felt like, I can't do this. Lord, I can't do it. It's just too painful. the Lord said, well, if you don't do what I say, then I'm backing off. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I'll do it. I don't care how it feels. And you know, I did it. And as I did it, the very thing that I thought was too painful, God used that to heal me. The brother talked about healing. God has ways of healing us. But we have to obey him and follow his ways. I want us to look, in depth at Abraham. Because Abraham was an example of following God's directions and God's navigation. And you know, he received the promise by doing that. He received the blessing. There is a blessing in following the way of the Lord. It might seem like this is too hard, it's too painful, it's too rough, it's too straight. But it is a blessing there. And if we do not follow that, we're going to be sorry in the end. Let's go to Genesis 12 and 1 through 5. When I study Abraham, I'm inspired to follow God. I'm inspired to the example he set. And yet he became the father of many nations. He became many his seed just as the sands of the sea and as the stars of the sky.
Yes.
By following the Lord. Somebody get that and read verse. Start at verse 1. We're going to read 1 to 5, please.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran.
Okay, 75 years old, and the Lord told him to leave from among his people. Now you could say, well, I'm old, Lord. What am I going to do out in no man's land, so to speak?
Right.
You know, but he didn't hesitate. God said it, and he did it. That's the example we have. When God say it, then we do it.
Yes.
And we can be blessed like Abraham was. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 8. And in Hebrews, we kind of get a little feel for what this was like with him going out, and how God blessed him.
By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went.
Can you imagine that? Now, if the Lord tell me, I want you to go to California, so to speak. Well, I know where I'm going, right?
Yes.
But God sent him, and he says, I'll tell you. So he just, you go, and I'll tell you. And he went, and God told him.
Amen.
But he was blessed, though.
Yes.
He said, I will bless your seed. He said, through you to all the, what? Nations of the earth be blessed.
Yes.
And we know that through the lineage of Abraham, Jesus came in all of us, but it took obedience.
Right.
It took his obedience for us, even down to now. We are enjoying the blessings of the fact that Abraham obeyed God.
Right.
We wonder what would happen had he not obeyed God. He would have spoiled the plan.
Right.
God has a plan for every one of our lives.
Yes.
Sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes we might say, but God, I don't understand this. But do it anyway.
That's right.
There is a blessing on the other side. So we can reap the benefits, just like Abraham did, if we follow his leadership. But I want us to think about, how did Abraham do this? How did he follow the Lord? He followed him without hesitation.
Yes.
Some of us would stop, and we'd have to think about it, and we'd have to say, well, Lord, give me a month. You know, like some of those people, when Jesus called them, said they were called for the feast, and some of them say, can I go bury my dad first? Or can I do this first? Or can I? Some of us would do that. But Lord, it seemed like right now it's not a good time. Can you give me some more time? Will you, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this, that, and the other. But Abraham didn't do that. He obeyed God. We can be inspired to obey God the way Abraham did. And I honestly believe that's what the Lord is calling for us to do in this time, 2023. This was hundreds of years ago when Abraham went through this, but today God wants a people that he can say do,
amen,
and they do.
Amen.
He can say go, and they go.
Mm-hmm.
He can say stop, and they stop.
Yes.
This is what God is calling for today.
Amen.
Let's go to Genesis 22 and 1. But it's such a beautiful life. You know, when we think of Abraham, we don't think of somebody that was miserable and woe is me. We have a beautiful picture before us of how he lived. And you know, we can be a beauty in this world if we live like that too. God can bless us to be a blessing to someone else. Did anybody get Genesis 22 and 1?
And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am.
Stop just a minute. When God said to Abraham, called his name, he said, here I am.
Yes.
What do you think that was? Here I am, I'm listening, I'm ready to do whatever you say. Can we say that to the Lord when he tells us something? Doris, here I am, Lord. Or any, put your name in there.
Yes.
Here I am, I'm ready, I'm willing to do your will. He wants a person to have a heart to do his will. You see, sometimes, follow the Lord as dear children, follow God as dear children. A dear child, you might say, go bring me that broom over there.
Yes.
A dear child will go bring you the broom with a smile on their face and a willingness to do it.
Yes.
Now, some children will do it. Yeah, but that's not dear child. When you go and do it and you're glad to do it, or bring me a cup of water. Oh, they're always asking me to do something. No, but then the dear child is so glad to give you a cup of water. They love you so much, they just glad for the opportunity. That's the way God wants us with him. Are we willing? Are we glad to do what he says? Does it make us happy to do what he says? Some of those things he tells us may not feel so good, but just knowing that we're doing his will should be, make us happy. You know, you understand? Just, you know, he's getting ready to tempt Abraham. He's tempting him. He's trying his love for him.
Right.
So let's read on.
And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of.
Stop just a minute. What a temptation. What a trial.
Yes.
He says, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him. What did he say? And take him and offer him
there for
a burnt offering.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anybody yet that I feel would do this like Abraham did. How many of us would do it like he did? Our son, our only son, whom we love, offering for a burnt offering? On, he didn't even tell them which mountain yet.
Right.
He says, on one of the mountains, which I tell thee of. What would you have to do that like Abraham? First of all, some people would go and say, well, you know, I know Sister so-and-so, she can get her prayers too. I'm going over there and I'm going to tell her what came to me.
Right.
And see if she can pray for me because, you know, maybe I made a mistake. You see what I'm saying? And of course, you go tell Sister so-and-so, she's going to probably say, well, sister, brother, that was probably not the Lord telling you that. But we'll pray about it, right?
Yeah.
And we'd feel like we had to pray about that. We have to pray probably long and hard about it, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Lord would have told you exactly which mountain to get on. So that's probably not the Lord. Look how human reasoning can get in there and cause us to not obey God. Do you know when we hesitate like that, it's not obedience? Sure enough, there are things we have to be careful of the devil presenting stuff. But when we know God told us, we need to obey him and not hesitate. Be quick to do what he says do when we know it's God. Okay, read on.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his animal and took two of his young men with him.
Okay, stop just a minute. When did he go do it? Did he wait? Did he wait a few days?
No.
Or maybe a month or so? He rose up early. Do you know, you remember when we read the other part where Abraham, God told him to go from among his people?
Yes.
Did he go around in the family asking them what they think? Did he wait? God said it, Abraham moved.
Yes.
Okay, so he rose up early in the morning. All right.
And saddled his animal and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and claimed the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went in unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the animal, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you.
Okay, stop just a minute. He found the place that the Lord told him. He went to the mountain that the Lord told him. Maybe that mountain might have been a little high, a little hard to climb. He might have found one a little easier to climb on. Let me go to this one because, you know, that one looks like it's just a little too high. So, Lord, can I go to this one? No. He went just to the one that the Lord had for him. In the scriptures, it's Galatians, one of the scriptures, it says, Abraham believed God, and it counted to him for righteousness. Well, you see, he had already been given the promise that through Isaac, all nations will be blessed through his seed. So he knew that even if he sacrificed his son, even if he put him there for the burn off, even if he killed him, God was going to raise him back. How do we know this? He told these men. He said, Abide here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He had faith and confidence in God. That whatever, if God say take him, he's going to raise him back up because he already promised me that he, through him, will my seed be. And so read on.
And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
Wait just a minute. Do you think you could have kept going when he said that? Don't you know that probably pricked his heart?
Right.
My son doesn't know he's the offering. He had to fight the flesh and go on because even though his son said that, if you love your son and they ask you that, it's going to hurt. Don't you know he felt the hurt?
Yes.
I believe he felt the hurt. But he loved God so much that he was fighting against the flesh. And what did he tell him?
And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar of wonder wood. And Abraham stretched forth his knife, and took the knife to slay his son.
Lord.
And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me.
Amen.
Well, how precious. How precious. He didn't have to do that. God tested him, but he didn't have to do it. But he proved to God that he was willing to obey God regardless. Read on.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son.
Thank the Lord. Now listen. Had he stopped at maybe another mountain that was not so hard to get to, easier, that ram wouldn't have been there.
Right.
That ram was on the mountain that the Lord had him to go on. And this is why it's so important to follow God step by step.
Yes.
Because the blessing is right there where he has designed for it to be. And so we can be encouraged by what we see in Abraham's life. And we know that we must, as human beings, fight against the temptation to use human wisdom or human reasoning to not do what God says to do. Let's go to Genesis 17. We're going to read verses 15 through 21. And here, this is before Isaac was born, Genesis 17.
And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. 16.
Keep going.
And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee.
Okay, stop just a moment. Did you notice that in this case, Abraham had some human reasoning? He thought, how can I can she bear a child? At her age, you know, I have Ishmael here. Maybe he could be the one, you see. Read on.
And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will give him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year.
So the Lord surely knew, and Abraham left it. He didn't try to continue on with it. But I just want us to see how that we can be tempted many times to see what looks like a better way. But God knows a better way. Now, I want to think a little bit about Isaac. For him to allow his dad to bind him and put him on that altar had to have a special talent.
Yes.
He had to be a special talent to be able to do that. When you think about it, Ishmael, had he been tempted, may not have ever had that kind of a heart. So God sees things farther than we do and deeper than we do. We see the here and now. But God sees the future. He knows. He sees people's hearts.
That's right.
Now let's go and read Genesis 17 and 10. It's just, we're going to, same chapter, but we're just going to spot, read a few verses here. I want us to look at the how he, Abraham, was given the commandment of circumcision and how he obeyed. Verse 10.
This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised.
Yes, now jump to 12.
And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed.
13.
He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
Okay, now we're going to drop down to verse 23.
And Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all that were born in his house, and all that were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the selfsame day, as God had said unto him.
Notice that? He obeyed in the selfsame day. So I just hope that each of you can understand and be encouraged to follow the Lord and not let one thing keep us from doing what God would have us to do. So Genesis 21 and verse 1 through 8, let's read that. So you see, he received the promise. He received the promise. He obeyed and he received the promise.
Yeah.
Galatians 3 and 6. I quoted it, but somebody can read it.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
So, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham was able to receive the promise because he obeyed God. And we can do the same.
Amen.
But I want to issue a warning, because there is a warning. And how that if we do not obey the voice of the Lord, we will not receive the promise. I want us to look at 1 Samuel 15, starting at the first verse. Somebody that did not obey God. And what happened to them?
Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt.
Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass.
Okay, stop. What is the commandment? What did God tell Saul to do? Okay, let's see if he followed through. Yeah, keep reading.
And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest unto Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly.
Okay, so did he follow exactly?
No.
So what do you think? Did he use human wisdom? Or did he just... He rebelled, didn't he? Okay, then let's drop down now. We're going to read 10. We'll read some, and then we'll go through some. Read from 10.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night.
Keep going.
And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up him a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord.
Stop just a minute. I've often wondered, how could he say he had performed the commandments of the Lord when he didn't? Did he deceive himself thinking? Do you know that we can be disobedient to the Lord and be deceived thinking we're okay? It's very important that once we know what the Lord wants us to do it his way. Because we can kind of vary it a little bit and the devil will make us think we're okay. It's a serious thing.
Yes.
Many people today are claiming to be saved and claiming to do the will of God, and they have strayed away from God's will.
Yes.
We can be deceived like that, but we don't have to. If we follow the Lord, we do his will,
amen,
just what he tells us to, when he tells us to.
That's right.
Read 14.
And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed.
Two things. First, he's saying the people. So he's putting the blame on the people, sparing them. But isn't he the king? Could the people do something against his will? I don't think so. If he had told them, you're not going to do it this way, they would have heard him. But he put it on them. And then the other thing, he said to sacrifice unto the Lord. We're going to see. Sometimes people, we can think that, well, I'm not going to do this, but I'll do this for the Lord. It's not going to work. What did Samuel say to him?
16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed.
Yes.
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, and didst fly from the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took up the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal.
So he's blaming them, and even saying it should have been destroyed when they knew better. Read 22.
And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
This is a serious thing. Because if we disobey God and we go, that we're going to be just like Saul.
True.
We're going to be led down a dark path.
Yeah.
We must obey God. We must do his will.
Yeah.
He gives us a chance to be saved. He gives us a chance to do his will.
Yes.
And we must do it. If we're not, the enemy can put rebellion in the heart.
Yeah.
Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's very serious.
Yeah.
And it led Saul down a dark path.
Yes.
Because the end of his life, he lost his kingship.
Yes.
He lost his mind.
Yes.
And he lost his life. People, we need to take God serious.
Yes.
Because we can be led down a dark path.
Yes.
And it can be a path of no return.
Lord,
pray for me.
Amen.